Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we have wonderful guests with us. We are welcoming Michael and Maria Ruiz Scaparlando to our show. Now, they are visiting from the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, where Michael serves as chancellor, and they are here to discuss the documentary American Martyr, the Stanley Rother story, and it's going to be in theaters August 25th and 26th. So we're kind of getting out a little bit before, saying, people, you need to look and see what's happening. You might want to go to the movies so you could see this beautiful, beautiful documentary. You could go out to the website, Rother.com. So it's Rother.com.
Rother.com.
Right.
Yep.
There we go.
Well, I'm just thinking as we're speaking about a movie of a man who is an American, Oklahoma, and he'll be the first, well, he is the first indigenous American martyr. I believe that's correct, and that's just powerful. And to think that there's something that we can go to as a family, I'm assuming we can go as a family and see this. We want to spread this to our children, our 17 grandchildren, and go out and see this and be inspired. I really feel like, you know, what we're doing here today, we do so many shows, but when you have somebody like this and a blessed, you just want to be reverent, you know? Like, because this man knew what he believed, he lived what he believed, he wasn't jumped, came back home to Oklahoma, saying your life's under threat, goes back to Oklahoma, and he's basically,
goes back to Guatemala.
What did I say?
Oklahoma.
Thank you. to Guatemala, where his people were, where his heart was and still is. And says, yeah, I can't leave these people. The shepherd doesn't flee. You know, I have to be there with them. He went back there to live his life, not to die, but through the circumstances and situations and civil war there, and they'll tell us more fully the story. There was a hatred for him and for the church, and he winds up losing his life for the hatred of the church. And he becomes, you know, over time here with these people helping so much in terms of promoting his life and legacy, and the good bishop there, Archbishop Oakley, and the people there. I mean, they've just taken in Father Stanley Rother like incredible. And the shrine there, which is just beautiful. So we're gonna hear all about this. And I'm sure they would want us to ask his prayers and intercessions for various situations. Who knows, maybe you'll receive a miracle. Who knows, maybe one of your children that's left the church will come back as we ask for Father Stanley's prayer. Joe, you want to do this?
Yeah, we'd like to take a moment to remind you all that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. And so if EWTN has strengthened and blessed your faith or your family, we humbly ask that you prayerfully consider making a financial gift. Just go out to EWTNmission.com so that we can continue to bring Christ's message to the world, the whole world. And let me tell you something, the whole world needs EWTN. And as Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. So go out to EWTN.com to make a donation. And we want to thank you for all of that have already given and for all of your prayers for this wonderful network. It's 45 years. We've come a long way, but God has a long way for it to go, and you want to be a part of that solution.
American Martyr, the Stanley Rother story. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guests today are Michael and Maria Ruiz Scaparlando, and they're going to be here to help us promote the canonization for the Blessed Stanley Rother. Now, Maria had been on a while ago in 2017. See, time flies when we're all having fun. We just keep growing older. And we talked about, you know, then he was just Father Stanley, but things have progressed. So we want you first to tell our family a little bit about your beautiful selves, and then we're going to talk about Blessed Father Stanley.
Michael and I met when we were in college. We're college sweethearts, I believe is what people call it. Mm-hmm. We got married right after we graduated from the University of Texas in Austin. And got married and started having kids right away.
Four beautiful kids.
Four amazing adult children and 15 grandchildren. Oh, we're behind you guys. go ahead.
So, take over. Yeah, and so most of my life, professional life, I was a law professor and became chancellor for the Archdiocese 8.5 years ago.
Okay.
And Maria raised our kids and also was a freelance journalist with several books.
Yeah, any writing I've done from home all my adult life.
And then tell our family how the both of you got involved with this beautiful mission and this promotion.
It's become a thing now.
For
me, it was a book project first. The Archdiocese commissioned me to write the first biography of Father Stan.
Was that the shepherd who didn't run?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So that was 2017 when we had you on.
And
he was
that's
not blessed
the year
at that time.
The beatification took place.
Okay.
So that's why I was here then.
Okay.
Well, I think when you arrived back in Oklahoma City that day, tell them about that when you got off the plane after doing the show.
There were actually, it was like a welcome, you know, nobody goes to the gate anymore, right?
Right.
But we remember when that happened, right? Well, I get off the plane and there's Archbishop Coakley and I said, are you welcoming me? And he goes, no, it's somebody else who's in the plane. And he was the nuncio, which I didn't know that.
But coming for the beatification.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, what
Isn't
a divine appointment.
Yeah. Now it's just kind of funny. God has a sense of humor, you know?
Well, beautiful.
So you got involved in writing and you wound up doing the book. You must have really got engrossed in
this
the whole
thing. This is like way past book project now because I've done more and more speaking about Father Stan and going around and like at the seminary here, Mount St. Mary's close by. it's a crazy thing to have a Cuban woman being so into this gringo man who is from a farming town in Oklahoma. And so he takes over and goes to the seminary and at Mount St. Mary's and then becomes a missionary in Guatemala for the Oklahoma Diocese.
Did they have, diocese had a connection with a certain group there in Guatemala?
So after Vatican II, or during Vatican II, maybe right before Vatican II, or during Vatican II, Pope John the 23rd had invited diocese in North America, Canada and the U.S., to send missionaries down to Central and South America. So this parish was established, Santiago Atitlan parish was established 16 years after Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared. To Juan Diego.
Only
so the
16.
The faith had
That's
spread.
Amazing,
that
really.
Far. But they hadn't had a resident priest in over 150 years when Oklahoma went down there. So they'd have itinerant priests come around. And so the mission was to have a permanent priestly presence there. We don't send missionaries there now because they had never had a priestly vocation from that parish in 450 years. Since his martyrdom, and this may not be, the count may be higher than what I'm going to tell you.
Yes,
they have nine priests from that parish.
Oh, not goodness. From the diocese,
from that parish.
And they have another dozen or so in the seminary. So the seeds of the martyrs.
Yes, the blood of the martyrs.
The blood of the martyrs, that's right.
Beautiful.
So he grew up in Oklahoma, to this very devout Catholic family, right? His sister is a sister,
yes.
Right? And she's still alive.
Yes.
She's the only family member that is alive.
Of that generation.
And so he was a farmer. And he went off to seminary. And when he went off to seminary, he wasn't maybe the best student, right? And
well, that's a really good part of the story, mm-hmm. I think, because I get to say that he flunked out of, of first year theology.
Yeah.
And really, it's not that he was not smart or that he couldn't do all the work. It wasn't his thing, mm-hmm. but also Latin was a challenge, mm-hmm. the language, and yeah. all the textbooks were in Latin. Mm-hmm. So he was sent home with a note that said, you should consider a different vocation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So wow. home from San Antonio and then off to see the bishop who clearly thought he was true to yeah. having that vocation, mm-hmm. wanted to sponsor that and encourage that in him. Mm-hmm. So,
sounds like another St. John Vianney.
Yes.
Yeah.
kind of situation.
So,
good thing
so,
somebody discerned, no, this guy yeah. is the real deal.
And what's amazing is he couldn't learn Latin, but he became fluent in Spanish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even more amazing, he became fluent in Tutu Hill.
Yeah.
Which is a Mayan language only spoken in two villages,
mm-hmm.
and helped translate the New Testament.
Out of the 12 people yeah. who were in that mission from mm-hmm. Oklahoma, he was the last one left there when he died, but he was also the only one that mastered Zutu Hill the way mm-hmm. he did.
Yeah.
I see it as God gracing showers on him to show him that he was in the right place, mm-hmm. because his heart was to connect with the people.
Yeah.
And he did so much for them to hear
mm-hmm.
the word of God and to, he was celebrating Mass in Zutu Hill only 5 years after he got there.
Mm-hmm.
That is like remarkable. That's not just average.
I'd call that a miracle.
Yeah.
yeah.
So what was going on there? From what I've read, that a civil war broke out there. How does a civil war get to some group have an animus against the church and against Father? He goes home to Oklahoma, you know, and then says, I have to return back. At least that is that the sketch of it? What took place and how did it lead to this, that they killed him?
So in the movie displays this very well, I think. No, at the time there's sort of there is a Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and it's being played out in proxy wars around the world. And there was a proxy war in Guatemala going on with the military and the government of Guatemala sort of being on our side and mm-hmm. the communist insurgents.
Okay.
Well, Blessed Stanley wasn't political, he wasn't ideological, he just mm-hmm. wanted to serve his people.
Right.
But he was catechizing them, he was helping them established farm co-ops, and just his presence threatened mm-hmm. the government.
Mm-hmm. And he was also, he had a radio show too,
yes.
where
yes.
he would teach math, yeah. and then he would catechize.
Right.
Right? So he was really trying to empower the people, not only with life skills, but with their faith.
Right.
Right? To say,
absolutely.
I want to help you in every mm-hmm. way that right. I possibly can. What a servant he was to the people.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the shrine. I mean, this is like really incredible. The Archdiocese of Oklahoma built a $50 million shrine honoring Blessed Stanley Rother. I mean, that says a lot in terms of the diocese, in terms of the people taking
Tell
him in,
Tell them the best
him.
Part of that $50 million story.
Oh, so
you will love this.
The diocese did a feasibility study for a capital campaign. And as I remember it, the consultant said, oh, you can probably raise $30 million for your campaign. And Archbishop said, let's do 50. It closed at 90.
Oh my God.
And so in 50,
what does that 50 tell
was,
you about the people?
50 was wow. used for the shrine, and then we
wow.
renovated the cathedral,
yeah.
endowments
mm-hmm.
and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the very small Catholic population, about 8%
yes.
Catholic,
mm-hmm.
but very, very generous.
Very generous.
And Archbishop mm-hmm. had
well, I think it's knowing that this matters,
mm-hmm.
that we want people to come and see and experience what we have in Stanley Rother. He's mm-hmm. not just for Oklahomans. He's really not just for Catholics either. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a man of faith for all.
Mm-hmm. His shrine is the largest Catholic church in Oklahoma. The main church seats about 2,000. He's buried in the altar of the chapel. The chapel seats mm-hmm. about 150. Mm-hmm. And then Archbishop had this brilliant insight. He said, let's build a Tepeyac Hill. Mm-hmm. So we built a Tepeyac Hill. We have a 12-foot Our Lady of Guadalupe and a 6-foot kneeling Juan Diego. Mm-hmm. And we were there before we left, right before we left for the airport. We mm-hmm. went by the shrine, and the hilltop in 100-degree weather was full of pilgrims.
Full yes. of pilgrims, because yeah. people yeah. can go there for a pilgrimage, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
How beautiful. Yeah.
And really, it's not just the building, the shrine, it's like a living entity. That we were there for Mass last Sunday,
yeah.
or a week ago Sunday. Any Spanish Mass on any given Sunday, mm-hmm. it is bursting at the seams.
Wow. Yeah.
There's nowhere mm-hmm. to sit. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just find that so, I don't know, energizing for the heart mm-hmm. to see that it is living. It,
yes.
And I think Father Stan would be smiling at that.
Mm-hmm. Sure he would be.
Yeah, so
he's now a blessed, and so the canonization process, Lord willing, will go forward. I guess a big part of that will be, it's usual, a miracle. Mm-hmm. He only had to have one miracle because he was martyred.
Right.
So how are things, are people petitioning him, asking his prayers? Are favors being shown? What's going on? I'm sure our people would want to know and would be inspired to ask his intercessions. What's happening now?
I'm glad you brought that up. We need a miracle that can be verified and sent to Rome. And there's some very specific things, right? Like making sure that you pray for only his intercession and don't get others' names in there.
Okay.
Except for Mary and Jesus.
Yeah.
yeah.
But it's important that they follow all of that so that we can say, okay, this one is it's a good one yeah. that we can send in. We need a miracle, and there's a lot of people out there that mm-hmm. need yeah. miracles.
Yeah.
So think of Father Stan and how he could be your intercessor.
And he's clearly busy. There are lots of what I'd call favors or small M miracles. We've got a child who was never supposed to leave the hospital, born of a mother who had no prenatal care. Mm-hmm. And that child is now 7 years old mm-hmm. and doing well. We had a heart attack victim. The cardiologist gave him very, very low chance of survival mm-hmm. and thriving today. Mm-hmm. So lots of good activity, but the church has very rigorous high standards.
Right. And the formula is important, right?
Exactly.
So people are seeking a miracle, there's a formula to follow
right.
so they could say, okay, I want to be a part of this. And ways that maybe they can identify with Father Stanley to
right.
say, you know, he was a simple man, he was a farmer, raised in a farm, good hard worker, good Catholic family. Mm-hmm. I identify with him. He is like me.
Yes.
And that would be so beautiful.
For the shrine, you can go to rothershrine.org, rothershrine.org for the film, Rother. doc.com, R-O-T-H-E-R, doc.com. We want to hear more about this. We're going to take a break at this point. Maybe you can introduce the film and what's happening with that.
Perfect.
We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back, continuing our conversation about Blessed Stanley Rother from Oklahoma City Archdiocese there. And so we want to get into this movie, August 25th and 26th. It'll be all over the country.
Yes.
If you go to rotherdoc.com, you know, you can find out where these locations are and so on. And then 25th, 26th, English, 27th in Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
Okay, so tell us, I mean, you've seen the movie, you've been very involved with it. What can people expect?
Well, so first I wanted to let you know how this came about. So the Archbishop's, you know, been very, very interested in promoting knowledge about Blessed Stan, having people seek his intercession. And so he's been interested in how do we get the word out mm-hmm. further. Martin Sheen, the actor, read Maria's biography, The Shepherd mm-hmm. Who Didn't Run,
right.
and fell in love with Stanley Rother and said, I want to help advance the cause of canonization. Mm-hmm. So my contribution will be narrating without cost a feature-length documentary so mm-hmm. Stanley can tell his own story.
Oh, how beautiful.
So that's how it all came together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the filming of this. What can people expect? What are they going to see? Is it good for whole families to come, young people as well as older folks?
We had the premiere. Premiere in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, and we had all of our grandkids okay. and kids mm-hmm. there except for the babies
yeah.
who were home sleeping. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would encourage whole families to go. And it will bring out questions in some of the older kids, and that's what we want, mm-hmm. right? About how, why was that happening, or why did they treat him that way, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that's healthy.
It is.
And it's amazing that they would look at Father Stan and say, okay, and this is how he responded. Because mm-hmm. that's when I say, that's why we want him to be declared a saint for the Universal Church, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's right.
To be a beautiful witness.
The documentary is one more avenue, one more mm-hmm. instrument that we can put out there for people everywhere to get to know Stanley Rother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the documentary's got beautiful cinematography,
oh,
both in Oklahoma
very
and
well
Guatemala.
Shot. Mm-hmm.
And then interviews with people who knew him. Mm-hmm. And also an actor reading some of his letters, mm-hmm. And then, you know, pictures
yeah.
and videos from
beautiful.
Of Stanley Rother and his family.
Well, thank God you're
beautiful.
With us. You'll be back with us tomorrow.
Yes.
You can unpack the movie more fully. I got a lot of questions for you on that. Father Rother, just in his person, blessed Father Rother, the canonization process. Anything else you want to bring up? What a great blessing it is for us to have the Scarpa Landis here with us. Promoting the life and the legacy, the witness of Father Stanley Rother, the first American-born indigenous martyr. What a great honor. And we can feel his presence even in this show. So God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.